This is Astrid Young, and I'm here with Mike Trainer at Trainer Family Vineyards. How you doing, Mike?
I'm amazing, and how are you?
I'm great. I actually first met you when you were at Oak Heights out in Peterborough area, and now you have a vineyard here. How many acres do you have?
On this property, it's a 10-acre property. We have 7 acres planted, and then we have another vineyard that we've just started planting about a kilometer away from here. We just planted another 5 acres on this spring.
So what's in the new planting?
It's all Marquette. We're focusing on hybrids because it fits our sustainability model,
right. The
way we want to cultivate vines to ensure that we have something that lasts generations.
And also that you have a crop at the end of the year, too.
We have a crop at the end, but that's all part of the sustainability.
Yep.
You have to have crops. You have to have an economical crop. And so we focus on that, our low intervention methods in the vineyards, and it's just the right fit for our model,
right. And
we're able to purchase other grapes locally and other grapes from Niagara, which kind of fill in the pieces as we establish our own vines.
Right. So do you not have any vinifera planted at all?
We've actually removed all of our own vinifera 3 years ago and replanted the vineyard to hybrids.
What does it mean to be low intervention viticulture?
I wouldn't call our viticulture low intervention because we're in the vineyard every single day working. So we are in the fields all the time, taking and tending our vines. But what we don't do is we don't spray any chemicals, any pesticides, herbicides. We actually only do a couple of copper sprays early in the season, before the vines even start growing, just to help take care of any residual mildew pressure that we may have had from last year. And then we just go into a combination of composts and teas for the rest of the year, which are all organically sourced, low intervention.
So would you call what you do organic farming?
Yeah, we're much beyond organic for what we do. There's some combination, some elements of some biodynamics that we do, but our primary focus is on permaculture. So we're introducing different plant species and adding more biodiversity into our vines, into the vineyards. So we're not just worried specifically about the grapevines. Nature has all these different programs that it's developed over time that, help challenge some of the issues that you have in the monoculture program. So we kind of try to work with nature more than anything.
So that must be a lot harder. Vineyard work is hard as it is. We were talking about, how much more difficult and how much more labor intensive is it to farm like that?
It's more upfront labor because we're introducing other plants. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of challenges around, plant selection to introduce and like how to tend these the variety of plants, because we're not just doing one system across the entire field. But once everything is established, it's actually a little bit less labor, especially with us not having any more vinifera anymore, because
right. That's
just an infinite amount of labor.
yeah, they're a lot more fussy, and then you would have to bury or use dextiles.
Yeah, we don't use any of that. Everything for us is we're able to grow up nice and high, and we get high canopies. So, I'm 6'4", and I spent years in the vinifera vineyards where I'm crawling around, and I'm not as light as I used to be. And that work is too hard. So I'm like, okay, my body's not going to take this for too much longer. Let's move everything upwards. So.
Yeah, that's actually a good strategy. So do you get higher yields with the hybrids also?
Yeah, we definitely do. Our labor is reduced by about 70%, and our yields are about 3 or 4 times as high.
So average, what's your average?
We average 5 or 6 tons an acre.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like basically Niagara levels or more.
Yeah, it's game-changing strategy for us because it's actually getting fruit off of our own vines with a manageable cost. And everything's organic. So, I think for us, it's a more sustainable path.
So what are the biggest challenges of farming this way?
convincing other people that it's the right way for us.
Well, you get a lot of blowback from
our team, mostly new people to the team as we expand the team and as they come in and they start working. Because part of our program is everybody who works with us works in the fields, works in the winery, works in the store. Everybody is integrated in our operation on all levels. And so as they have these preconceived notions about what they've experienced at other projects, other wineries, they don't really understand. But once they start working in the vineyard and seeing the results, then it becomes obvious that, yeah, this is the better path. And for us, you know, as we've been going through this transition where we've removed the old vineyards, there's a lot of work to retrofit our trellis or, you know, all of those components that just take time. It's mostly just time.
Yeah. So how about the public? I mean, the resulting wine, is it something that people gravitate to? And I know, you know, there's a huge popularity for low intervention and natural wines and things like that. Do you fit into that category?
We do.
Okay.
That's really our primary focus. We make a little bit of something for everybody, but our long-term program is more in that niche. And from the consumer perspective, it's something that people come to us for.
Right.
There's a lot of great wines around the county that, you know, there's no point in trying to compete with Clos and Chase Chardonnay or, you know, it's not like that's their niche. Let them have it. We've got our niche and what we're focusing on. And that's why people come.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, too, because, as you know, every winery that you go to in the county is going to be a Pinot Noir and a Chardonnay, Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. You know, there's very few wineries that are doing something that are just stepping outside the box. So, you know, that definitely fills a niche.
Well, and it's hard for us to sell those. We actually most years don't make any Chardonnay or Pinot Noir because we'll make it 1 year and it'll last us 5 years because it's not what people are coming to us to have.
Right, right.
It's just not, you know, we have it because you gotta have it. But at the same time, it's not what people are coming to our vineyard to try.
Right. In terms of, science, because there is a fair bit of science in wine growing and winemaking. So how much does lab work factor into the whole process? Because I understand that you all also use natural yeast in your winemaking process too. And that I know is a challenge because you never really know what you're going to get.
True that. I think one of the things that natural wines have gotten in general, a bit of a bad reputation because people aren't doing enough of the fundamentals of winemaking with the work.
In terms of
tracking your chemistries or staying on top of sanitation or, you know, I think people think natural wines, you can just let nature take its course and everything is free and lovely.
It's a nice thought, right?
It's a lovely thought, but the reality is it's actually more work.
Yeah.
You have to be even more hardcore on your fundamentals and staying on top of fermentation health and, you know, pump overs and managing your plants and your wines just to stay consistent. At the end of the day, you got to drink something that people want to, or make something people want to drink.
Right. So how about sulfur? How does that play into
everything? Depends on our wine. Depends on the style. We do use sulfur for sure. We have some styles that we don't use any sulfur on, like for example, our Pet Nats, which are they're bottled very young. And they, you know, they don't have the opportunity to get oxidized. So we don't worry about it with that. But on the styles that we put into barrels, for example, or are aging for prolonged periods, you have to use sulfur.
Right.
Just to protect it. Otherwise you'll just have vinegar at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's right.
We're pragmatic in our approach to things. Like at the end of the day, we've built this place up with our bare hands and we take a great deal of pride in what we do. And so to have a faulted product that nobody wants to drink and we don't like to drink is not what we want to do.
Yeah, you definitely want to avoid that. So I know that I remember what I wanted to say now. So a lot of hybrids and including Marquette tend to be really high pH. So how do you manage that? I mean, there'd be high pH, high alcohol.
So the Marquette is probably the best new hybrid. I've had the good fortune of working with it since early 2000s, 2001, 2002 is when I first started planting. And what we find with the with Marquette in the county because of our very alkaline soils. It's a little bit more acidic. So when we harvest, it's like 3.2, 3.3 pH. Now, it tends to be a little bit higher in malic acid. So when it goes through mallow, the pH tends to climb, but it's still not a unstable level.
Right.
So by the time it's gone through mallow, we're looking at 3.4, 3.5. And in combination with that high alcohol, it's a very stable product.
So do you pay more attention to the pH than the sugar necessarily at picking?
You know, that's one challenge that we're still working on with it. We've, you know, even though we've harvested it off of the, our own fields for 14 years now.
Wow, 14 years.
Yeah, we're still trying to find that ideal time. You know, my natural tendency, having grown up in the Ontario wine industry, is to always try to push sugars. But we do try to, we're trying to ratchet that back in general because I'm a volume drinker. And so if there's too much alcohol in the wines, they knock me down. But the other part of it is we're just trying to find better balance in the fruit. And one of the things that I have noticed about it is just when it's on the cusp of being ripe, if you leave it that extra 3 or 4 days, it breaks down very quickly. So we're really focusing in this year. It's been in our minds ever since last harvest that just when we think it's just about ripe enough and we want to push it that little bit further, we've got to pick it right then.
Yeah, you can't really can't mess around with Mother Nature.
No, it's just the nature of the season. And when things happen here, it just happens quickly.
So last question, what would you say to critics who tend to think that low intervention wines are flawed or inconsistent?
They're probably right.
Well, that's a really honest answer.
This is where you have to find trusted producers and just try more. And it's really a challenging segment of the wine industry because, you know, I've personally been out and had great recommendations on wines. And, you know, it's $80 or $90 on a wine list. And you're like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm really excited. The Somme or whatever really is excited. And I try the wine and it's not great.
I lied. I have one more question. Do you have anything that you're experimenting with right now?
You know, I think one of our big programs that we've been working on for the last 4 or 5 years is we're really focused on becoming a zero waste facility. So reusing all of our byproducts and making sure that we've extracted all the value we can from those grapes. And part of that is because we want to add better value to the consumer. Like, I work very hard at bringing our prices down. When everybody has been pushing up their prices, I've been pushing down my prices because I think
that's refreshing.
The consumer needs that.
Yeah.
But also, I think we leave a lot of meat on the bones. So producing products like Piquette, which is like a second pressing of the grapes, we make our primary wine. And then we take the skins afterwards and we re-ferment them and make a low alcohol wine. That helps us get, you know, say a ton of grapes cost $1,000, $2,000, whatever it is. I can allocate a good portion of that to our second wine and get more value, more product for our money. And I think that's really one of our goals. The other part is we've been distilling our sediment out of the tanks. So using those spirits to fortify wines and just trying to be more efficient and take all that. And then finally, we compost all of those things and put them back in our fields and help our nutrient cycles. So it's really just for us, sustainability vision is just a really a complete picture of trying to create a consistent cycle where we're just doing a better job.
Well, thanks very much for sharing all this with me today, Mike.
My pleasure. Cheers. Thank you.
Thank you, Astrid and Mike. Don't go away. We'll be right back after a brief message with Brenda Mercer-Garvey and Ross Hamilton on What's Happening.